There had already been cases of American bioengineering companies moving to another country so they would not be hampered by regulations and rules. The most flagrant, Morris explained, was the Biosyn rabies case. In 1986, Genetic Biosyn Corporation of Cupertino tested a bioengineered rabies vaccine on a farm in Chile. They didn't inform the government of Chile or the farm workers involved. They simply released the vaccine. The vaccine consisted of live rabies virus, genetically modified to be non-virulent, but the virulence hadn't been tested. Biosyn didn't know whether the virus could still cause rabies or not. Even worse, the virus had been modified. Ordinarily, you couldn't contract rabies unless you were bitten by an animal, but Biosyn modified the rabies virus to cross the pulmonary alveoli. You could get an infection just inhaling it. Biosyn staffers brought this live rabies virus down to Chile in a carry-on bag on a commercial airline flight. Morris often wondered what would have happened if the capsule had broken open during the flight. Everybody on the plane might have been infected with rabies. It was outrageous. It was irresponsible. It was criminally negligent. But no action was taken against Biosyn. The Chilean farmers who unwittingly risked their lives were ignorant peasants. The government of Chile had an economic crisis to worry about, and the American authorities had no jurisdiction. So Lewis Dodgson, the geneticist responsible for the test, was still working at Biosyn. Biosyn was still as reckless as ever. And other American companies were hurrying to set up facilities in foreign countries that lacked sophistication about genetic research. Countries that perceived genetic engineering to be like any other high-tech development, and thus welcomed it to their lands, unaware of the dangers posed. So that's why we began our investigation of InGen, Morris said, about 3 weeks ago. And what have you actually found? Grant said. Not much, Morris admitted. When I go back to San Francisco, we'll probably have to close the investigation. And I think I'm about finished here. He started packing up his briefcase. By the way, what does juvenile hyperspace mean? That's just a fancy label for my report, Grant said. Hyperspace is a term for multidimensional space, like three-dimensional tic-tac-toe. If you were to take all the behaviors of an animal, its eating and movement and sleeping, you could plot the animal within the multidimensional space. Some paleontologists refer to the behavior of an animal as occurring in an ecological hyperspace. Juvenile hyperspace would just refer to the behavior of juvenile dinosaurs, if you wanted to be as pretentious as possible. At the far end of the trailer, the phone rang. Ellie answered it. She said, "He's in a meeting right now. Can he call you back?" Morris snapped his briefcase shut and stood. "Thanks for your help and the beer," he said. "No problem," Grant said. Grant walked with Morris down the trailer to the door at the far end. Morris said, "Did Hammond ever ask for any physical materials from your site, bones or eggs or anything like that?" "No," Grant said. "Dr. Sattler mentioned you do some genetic work here." "Well, not exactly," Grant said. "When we remove fossils that are broken, or for some other reason not suitable for museum preservation, we send the bones out to a lab that grinds them up and tries to extract proteins for us. The proteins are then identified, and the report is sent back to us." "Which lab is that?" Morris asked. "Medical Biologic Services in Salt Lake." "How'd you choose them?" "Competitive bids." "The lab has nothing to do with InGen?" Morris asked. "Not that I know," Grant said. They came to the door of the trailer. Grant opened it and felt the rush of hot air from outside. Morris paused to put on his sunglasses. "One last thing," Morris said. "Suppose InGen wasn't really making a museum exhibit. Is there anything else they could have done with the information in the report you gave them?" Grant laughed. "Sure, they could feed a baby hadrosaur." Morris laughed too. "Baby hadrosaur. That'd be something to see. How big were they?" "About so," Grant said, holding his hands 6 inches apart. "Squirrel size." "And how long before they become full grown?" 3 years, Grant said, give or take. Morris held out his hand. "Well, thanks again for your help." "Take it easy driving back," Grant said. He watched for a moment as Morris walked back toward his car, and then closed the trailer door. Grant said, "What did you think?" Ellie shrugged. "Naive. You like the part where John Hammond is the evil arch-villain?" Grant laughed. "John Hammond's about as sinister as Walt Disney. By the way, who called?" "Oh," Ellie said, "it was a woman named Alice Levin. She works at Columbia Medical Center. You know her?" Grant shook his head. "No." "Well, it was something about identifying some remains. She wants you to call her back right away."